The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, as I said earlier, it's so good to be here, and I am grateful for the church that we are coming from for allowing us to be with you guys this week. I went to them about a month or so ago and asked them, hey, in the midst of this transition, will you allow us, give us a week where we can be with them? And I feel like I have a couple of words to really share with you. First and foremost, I want to introduce to you myself and my family. You're looking at me and saying, I don't even know who you are. And that's okay because I don't know who you are either. And so we're going to get to know each other. And so there's a picture I have of our family. And so I want to introduce to you the family. You already saw a couple of our kids and my wife here. My wife is Tiffany. She is the bigger one in the back. And so Tiffany and I, we met at Greenville College, and we've been married for 11 years now. It's hard to believe. So now I'm going to tell you of our kids from the oldest to youngest. Our oldest kid is the furry one in front. That is Wrigley. She is 10 years old. Some people
who help decorate the church
say I look the most like her. I don't believe that, though. But that's Wrigley. She is doing great, but her hips are really bothering her. She's an old girl now. But Wrigley is really a great dog. And then right above Wrigley is Peyton. That is our oldest. Peyton is 8. He is going to go into third grade next year. And Peyton, of course, Peyton is still here with us. Hi, Peyton. So Peyton is excited for the move, but also kind of scared too. And so above Peyton is Titus. Titus is 5. And man, Titus is just so cute. And I tell him sometimes, you are so lucky you're cute because that's saving you right now, that cuteness is. And so that's Titus. He's 5. And then Autumn, our last one. Autumn is 2 years old, and she is amazing, but she is definitely in her twos. And you guys know what I mean when I say that, right? And so so Autumn is full-fledged two-year-old. Yesterday, right when we got to the hotel room yesterday, after a three-hour drive or so, Tiffany and I were just kind of relaxing for a second. And while we were relaxing, I said, where's Autumn? And Tiffany said, she's probably getting into everything like she normally does. And I'm like, that's scary. And then she starts crying. So we go over, and she found her way into the small fridge that they have that was right at her height. And she opened it up, and there was a freezer in that fridge that she put her hand on, and her hand got stuck on the freezer, and she got a burn. Now it's blistered all the way across her hand, and so we did not sleep. Actually, midnight last night, early this morning, really, midnight, I had to get up and find the nearest Walmart to find some medicine to give her because she was not sleeping. So if I fall asleep in the middle of my sermon, wake me up. I need it. So that is our family, and we are so blessed to be here with you. And we just want you to pray for us in the midst of this. Obviously, as we know, and as all of us have been through, transition is hard. And it's not just hard for you, it's hard for us. And we're in a transition as well, moving boxes and packing just stinks. Anybody packed lately? Moving just is hard, and it's not fun, and we're in the middle of it and going a little crazy. But pray for us as we're in the midst of that. So I just wanted to introduce my family to you. And so in the last 6 years, our family has been at Grace Through Methodist Church in McConnell, Illinois. It is right on the very northern part of Illinois. We are like 1 mile away from the Wisconsin border. So I go on bike rides a lot. So when I go on bike rides, I bike into and past Wisconsin. Well, not past, but so I go into Wisconsin and then back, and then ride my bike back. And that's how close that we are. But God has done some amazing things in the last 6 years. And so in the last 6 years when we went there, I mean, it's a fairly rural church. And so we have seen God double the size of the church in the last 6 years. And some incredible things are happening. Just coming up in a couple of weeks, there's a lady in the church that God completely transformed her heart in the last 2 weeks. God just changed her life. And she came to me just this week, and she said, I feel like I really need to be baptized, but I don't even know what that's all about, you know? And she was like, will you help me with this? And I want to be baptized, and can you do it before you leave? And I'm like, yes, I can, let's do it. And so God continues to do some amazing things. And it was her grandmother at a different time came to me. Her grandmother is 95 years old, and she came to me too, and she said, you know, I've never been baptized either. Is there a way that you can baptize me as well? And, oh, man, God is at work, and he's doing some amazing things. And obviously, continue to pray for Grace as they're going through this transition. They're bringing in a pastor to interview in a week. But obviously, they're going through some heartaches, as you guys have faced, some confusion, some hurt. So be with that church as God continues to lead them as they are leading us. Well, as we dive in, I want to dive into the scripture that, and I want to kind of unwrap the scripture a little bit. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And this scripture, and the reason why I want to dive into it is because I've been praying for you guys for a while. And in the last couple of weeks, as I was praying for you, God led me to this scripture. And he led me to these words. And I believe that these were perfect words for us and for you. These were perfect words for me. And so so that's why I wanted to preach on this verse with you today. And it's only one verse, but such a powerful verse it is. And so I want you to try to memorize this verse. I want you to hide this verse in your heart as we move forward. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, the first thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk about peace. And like I said, I've heard the things that you guys have been through in the last couple of months. It's been hard. Some ups and downs. And in the midst of it, my prayer for you is that the peace of God will surround you and will cover you. And so that's why I love this prayer so much. That's why I love this blessing, is it talks about peace. We all need peace, don't we? I love Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 is a verse that I shared with a 50-year-old man on his deathbed hours before he died of cancer. He had his lovely wife and his kids surrounding the bed. And in the midst of this really, really hard time, we were all bawling. He was a good friend of mine, a big part of the church. God used his life in amazing ways. And in the midst of this cancer that pretty much destroyed his body, he's laying in the bed, and his wife and his kids around them were completely covered and surrounded by peace. It didn't make sense. How could a family who's going through such difficult times, such a difficult trial, the hardest time of their life, how could a family have peace? And this verse came to me, Philippians 4:7. And I said it to them, and I say it to you today. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which means the peace of God, which doesn't make sense. Guide your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's my prayer for you. That in the midst of it, that you will see and feel his peace. Transition is hard. And in the midst of it, we all need some peace. I mean, we're moving to a new city, trying to find new places, new boxes, throwing away as much junk as we possibly can. With our kids coming, with having a fear but also an excitement. And we've been praying for a peace that would surround us. And I pray for that peace that would surround you as well as you go through your transition. I'm reminded of the story of the disciples in a boat when the storms were coming. And the storms came and the waves were blowing over the boat. You guys know the story. And Jesus was sleeping, talking about being at peace in the midst of a storm. He was sleeping. I heard you guys had a storm here a week or two ago. Probably wasn't very peaceful, was it? So the waves were coming over the boat. The disciples were panicking, and they were probably mad and frustrated at Jesus for being asleep. Probably saying, "How can you be peaceful at a time like this?" And so they went down there and they woke him up and yelled at him. And I would guess, if I was Jesus, I would guess that Jesus was probably frustrated at them for waking him up. And so he goes and he looks at the storm and he says these words, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And I know you guys lately have seen and felt the waves. And you've seen or maybe even seen some of the waves come crashing in, and it's been hard. But guess what? We serve a God who looks at those waves, who looks at the storms in our life, and he says, "Peace, be still." And he's calling for peace over us, for peace over me. So I'm praying for peace for you guys. And I love how the scripture says, "With all joy and peace as we trust in him." So how do we have peace? It first comes by trusting in the Lord. Trusting that his ways are better than our ways. Trusting that his plan is better than our plan. That his will be done. In the first service, we sung the hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And so when we trust in him, it helps us to have peace. That maybe we don't know what's going on, or we don't know what's happening or why it's happening, but yet we trust in him. That it's his plan and not ours. And his plan is always better than ours. And so we have peace because we trust. But peace, that's not what this verse is all about. This verse is not about peace. It's just one word in this verse. Let me read it again to you. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Did you catch it? What is this verse about? It's about hope. It's about hope. What is hope? Hope is Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's hope. Our hope is the light at the end of the tunnel. As I said, I'm a bike rider. There's down a bike path in Wisconsin, there is a really large tunnel. And so if someone doesn't warn you before and you're going down and riding your bike and you're heading into this tunnel, there is a point in the middle of the tunnel that everywhere around you is complete darkness. And when you go into that tunnel for the first time, oh, it's scary. And so I can't even see my hand in front of my face. But then you turn the corner just a little bit, and there it is. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's hope. It brings you hope that I am almost at the end. That I'm not going to be surrounded by darkness anymore. And the closer that I get to that light, the more and more that I get to see my surroundings. And so hope is that light at the end of the tunnel. This morning, I want to share with you, Mountford, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I want to share with you of how God has directed and called us to you. It started with several months ago. And as a pastor, you know, I see all the time of like churches being open or pastors who are leaving. Or I've heard several times from other superintendents who might have called and said, hey, would you be interested maybe in this church? And I've never had an inkling, never had a tug on my heart or anything until about 4 months ago. I saw on Facebook that Mountford Free Methodist Church was going to be open. And right away when I read that, for the first time, I had this tug on my heart. And I didn't know where it was from. Well, I knew where it was from. And I went to God right away. I'm sitting in my office. I went to God and I said, God, what are you doing? I've never heard this before. Why this tug? So I even went to my wife that night. I came home and I said, so Tiff, the church in Decatur is open. She was like, and? Nothing? Nothing more? Just wanted to let you know. All right. And to tell you the truth, for the next 2 months, I sat on it and ignored it. So then, 2 months later, I had my superintendent in the conference that we're in contacted me and called me, and in this conversation, he said, hey, I just really want to have this conversation with you, and it's completely up to you, but I just want to let you know there is a great church that's going to be open in our conference, and I really think that you would be perfect for that church. And I know great things are happening where you are, but I'm just making the phone call to say, will you pray about it? And I said, in respect to you and the conference, okay, I'm going to pray about it. So that afternoon, I prayed about it. And while I was praying about this church that was open, I never once got a tug on my heart for this church. But right away, I'm praying for this church, and I heard God's voice say once again, Decatur. Decatur. And I even had a conversation with God in my office right then. And I said, Decatur, this is the second time that you're laying this on my heart. I don't even think it's probably not even open anymore. I probably missed my chance. To tell you the truth, God, I don't even know if I would even be qualified or anything else, or if they're looking for me. But I heard God say, Decatur. So I called a friend of mine who's in this conference, who knows the church, and he knows me. And I said, hey, shoot me straight here. I have nothing to lose because I wasn't even looking. But God laid Decatur on my heart. Where's Decatur at? in this, not where it's at, I knew where Decatur was. I said, where is Decatur at in this process, in this search? And he was like, to tell you the truth, they're back to square one. They don't have anybody. I said, really? Okay. So you know me, you know the church. Do you think I would be a fit? And he said, to tell you the truth, I think you're exactly who they're looking for. And I said, really? Huh. Okay. So maybe I should call Superintendent Ben tomorrow? He said, I think you should, and just look into it. You have nothing to lose. All right. Little did I know, on that same day, Superintendent Ben was meeting with the MAC. And they were talking about Decatur and the opening of Decatur and who they were going to look at to find a pastor for Decatur. And on that same day, there was a lady from this church that felt led and called Superintendent Ben in his meeting and said, I want you to know that God has laid it on my heart today, and I am praying right now that God will put a tug on someone's heart that is not even on our radar. And that person will call you tomorrow. She said, that's my prayer. It was a specific prayer. So that day, I got that tug on my heart again, Decatur. So I waited on it for a night. The next day was when I called Superintendent Ben. And when I said, hey, this is Paul Alf. I think you know who I am a little bit. He was like, yeah, I know who you are. I'm like, off the record, because I'm not really looking, but tell me what you know about Decatur. And he was almost speechless. I'm like, hello? So I'm not qualified, okay, that's fine. He was like, no. And he told me the story of how a lady the day before just prayed that God would bring the perfect candidate in that wasn't even on our radar, and he would call. And Superintendent Ben said, when I received that, I said, amen. But then I said, it's not going to happen. That doesn't usually happen like that. And he said, now you're calling me. So then for the next hour and a half, he led me through, which I didn't even know was an unofficial interview over the phone. And so we talked, and halfway through it, he was like, man, I just want to tell you, I think you're a perfect fit. And you're automatically are put up in the, you know, as our number one candidate. And I'm like, really? Huh. So obviously we had to come. And so we came and we interviewed with the MAC and we interviewed with the board. During the interview with the board, to tell you the truth, it was a great interview, but to tell you the truth, we had nothing to lose. So we came in while the board was interviewing us. Guess what? We were interviewing the board. And we were asking the board questions. And at the end, the board surrounded us and laid their hands over us and prayed that God's will be done. And then at the end, I felt led for us to sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. And on the way home from Decatur that night, Tiffany and I looked at each other and we're like, God's leading us here. So when he calls, we better follow. And we need to trust. So I say all that story to tell you God is on the move. God is working. And I just want to come for the ride. And I am excited for what God has in store for Mountford Free Methodist Church. I am excited for what God is going to do. Because obviously, when God is working and when God is calling, God's hand is more powerful than any of ours. And He is a faithful God. And so I want you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel this morning. We see the light because we see Christ. And Christ is evident in this whole process. So may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as we trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope. I love that word overflow, because it's talking about, it doesn't say may you just have the very smallest of hope. It doesn't say that. May you overflow with hope, where the hope is just bubbling out of you. It is overflowing you, where everyone around you sees the hope in you, because we have hope in Christ. So that you may overflow with hope by whom? By the power of the Holy Spirit. This is nothing that we can do. It's not in our control. It's only being done by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's hand has been in this. And He's been at work. And He's moving. And so because of that, Mountford, I am excited for what's to come. I am excited for what God is going to do. How God is going to move in your hearts as God is going to move in my hearts. And together, we are just going to go along for the ride. God is at work. So that's my prayer over you, is that God will surround you with peace in the midst of these things. And maybe some of you are struggling with it more than others. And that's okay. But I'm praying for peace. That God will surround you with peace. And that God will give you hope. Because that's what it's all about. You see, when we focus on Christ, who is our hope, and who is the Prince of Peace, guess what? We get that hope and we get that peace. As we close, I want to close with Romans 12:12, just a couple of chapters before this. But Romans 12:12 says three different things for us. And these three things I leave with you. And what I want you to do is that I am encouraging you for the next month until we get here to pray over these three things. This is my prayer for you. Romans 12:12 says this, the first thing, be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. Have hope that God is at work and God's hand has been in this and He is doing some amazing things. Be joyful in hope. Second thing, be patient in affliction or be patient in trials. Maybe you're going through a lot. Maybe you're struggling with the process. Be patient in affliction. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction or trials. And the third thing, most important, be faithful in prayer. Church, we need to be faithful in prayer. So I ask you to join me to be on our knees every day, praying for what God is going to do. Praying of how God is going to use you to be in it. And what God is going to do through you. Praying for us that God will lead us and help us. Currently, I almost feel like I'm like working three full-time jobs. I'm pastoring the church down there. I feel like, in a way, I'm already pastoring the church here. And we're in the process of buying a home, which is a full-time job in and of itself with all the paperwork that we have to fill out. So it's crazy. But I'm faithful in prayer. So join me as we pray together of what God is going to do and how He is going to use us to not just impact this church, but to impact our region, to impact our neighborhood, to impact Decatur, to impact the county. You see, God is bigger than this church. Amen? And I believe that God is going to use us to be His hands and His feet, to go out. God is on the move. And I'm just along for the ride. When He speaks, we need to trust and obey. And we ask for His peace to surround us.